Good morning, Birmingham. Joy, delight to be with you here again today and to bring God's holy gospel to you, amongst you, that you might hear God's testimony, His word, and hearing, that He might give you faith, that He might grant you repentance unto life, without which, of course, no one can be saved. We offer to you a copy of God's written word, your Bibles, New Testaments, gospel booklets offered to you freely. Read God's written word, His testimony, His own testimony, His own infallible word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you would like to have a copy of God's word, it's offered to you freely, without cost, and without any obligation to you. If you would like a copy of God's word, to feel free to come and ask us for one. It's the word of God that we are here to declare, to make known amongst you in these days of terrible darkness, in these days when many, many people, majority of people, I dare say, even here in Birmingham today, no thought for eternity, no thought beyond today, never mind eternity, but eternity is coming. That day is coming when we shall all appear before the judgment throne of God and give account in that day for our being, because for our, Jesus says, our every idle word. So pay heed, will you please? We ask you to simply and only to hear the word of God, His testimony, to consider, to think upon these things, that God might lead, that He might direct your thoughts to the only one who can save you, and that is His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world that through Him that you might be saved. It is Christ that we come to lift up before you in your midst here today. Now, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself, He said. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draweth them. Our prayer for you today is that God would draw you to His Son, Jesus Christ, in faith, enabling you to do that which you cannot do yourself. Only by God's grace, only with God's help, only with God giving you, pouring faith into your heart, and enabling you to lay hold upon Jesus Christ, that you might be saved. So, you'd like a copy of God's word, do feel free to come and ask us for one, gladly placed into your hands, quite freely. Today's question for you today, which we intend to answer, is what are the punishments in the world to come? Bible makes it clear that God punishes sin in this world. He punishes men and women for their unbelief. He punishes them for their rejection of the gospel, their rejection of His overtures of love. God, He gives men over, the Bible says, to blindness of mind. He gives men and women over to reprobate minds. He gives men and women over to strong delusions. And this because of their unbelief, because of their sin, he gives them over to more sin. He punishes sin with sin. You say, for example, you don't want God, you don't want his Son, you don't want his grace and love, you don't want his forgiveness, his salvation. So God, in effect, he says, well, I'll give you what you want. Because what you want is, you want your sin. You want to live in, you want to revel in, you want to delight in your sin. So God says, well, I'll give you more of your sin. And in the way of sin, you perish in your minds, in your bodies, and in your souls. And then, of course, to perish everlastingly. Unless that is, of course, you are saved, God intervenes by his sovereign grace. But our question today is, what are the punishments? That's the punishments in this world. What are the punishments in the world to come? My friends, there is a world to come. Death is not the end, not by any stretch. And so we would have you, if you would, to consider the truth as it is in Jesus, and to consider the vastness, the greatness, the immensity of God's love in sending his only begotten Son and giving to the world a Savior, that men and women might be saved from the dreadful punishments for sin in this world, but of course ultimately to be delivered from the punishments for sin in the world to come. Only through God's love, grace in sending and giving to us a Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish now in this world, this life, and then perish, of course, for all eternity. If you do not believe, says Jesus, that I am he, that is the Savior, Messiah, Christ, mediator, God's appointed mediator between God and men, the only one. If you do not believe that I am he, says Jesus, you shall die in your sins. Die everlastingly, eternally. So what are the punishments for sin in the world to come? The Bible sums it up this way. It says, who shall be punished? This is those who do not obey the gospel, that is to repent and believe the gospel. Those who do not know God, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The punishments for sin in the world to come, everlasting separation from the comfortable presence of God, most grievous torments, Jesus tells us, in both soul and body, without intermission, in hell fire forever. That, my friends, is the end of unbelief. That's the end of your pathway in sin. That's the end, my friends. That's the end of godless living. And so we would ask you to take heed to these things, so vital, so important, of no account to you today, perhaps you say. But picture yourself on your deathbed, not too far away, maybe perhaps sooner than many of you think, about to breathe your last and to step into eternity. Not the finish, not the end of the story, not a black hole, not nobody knows, but my friends, a known future, eternity, either in heaven with God by his grace, or hell with the devil and his angels. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the way by which a man enters the kingdom of God. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the path, wide is the gate, and broad is the path that leads to everlasting destruction, and many, many go in thereat. My friends, today, enter in at the straight gate. Enter the kingdom of God in the way of repentance and faith. Of course, there are many, many common delusions that people hold to, you know, concerning what happens to them after death. There's those, you know, who believe that, well, at death they'll be annihilated. That'll be it, you know, vaporized, perhaps, you know, and that's the end of it, you know. There's no more suffering, no more pain, and of course that's what many, many suicidals, that's what they think. They think that in taking their own lives, that they're going to bring an end to their existence. They're going to bring an end to their sufferings, to their pain, their torments in this world, whatever the cause of them might be. And they think to themselves, well, I'll end it all. But the trouble is, they don't end it all, because death is not the end. Death is not the end of your existence. You have an immortal soul. And my friends, in a thousand, in a million years' time, you will still be in existence. The question is, where will you be in existence? With God in comfort, or in hell in torment? Which will it be? So people, you know, they are taken up with these modern day delusions that man does not have a soul, that man does not have eternity in him, and of course, well, that when they come to death, that's just the end of it. That's the end of their existence. No, my friends, you will not ever cease to exist. And so I submit to you in the love of God and by the grace of God that you might be found in that day when you do breathe your last to be trusting in God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way of salvation and the only way that you can be assured of a comfortable existence in eternity. Either a heavenly mansion with Jesus or a hellish hovel with the devil and with his angels. Another great delusion that many hold to in these days, and this is a very common one, universalism it's called, that everybody will be saved. God so loved the world, didn't He? So He loves everybody, and everybody will be saved. I've even heard those who profess to be Christians speaking such nonsense as this. God loves everybody. God will save everybody. Everybody will be included in His kingdom. He won't send anybody to hell. Oh, a God of love, they say, would never do that. But understand, will you please, that God loves holiness, that God loves truth, that God loves His law, that God loves obedience to His law, that God is holy. He's not just love. His love is a holy love. His love, one gentleman said to me the other day, that he hated God. I thought that was quite refreshingly honest. I said to him, yes, you do. All men do in their natural state and condition. That's how you come into the world, hating God. That's why you live contrary to God, because you hate God and you hate your neighbor. That's the natural born state. So I asked him, I said, well, why do you hate Him? He said, because He sends people to hell. Well, I said, said to him, well, what would you think of a judge? A judge who had a murderer brought before him, and the judge just shrugged his shoulders and said, I love you, man. I love you. I know you've murdered somebody, but off you go. No bother. No bother. I'll just continue to love you. Well, you can well imagine the uproar that such a judge would cause. But a judge can't do that, can he? Because he's bound to uphold the law. He's bound in his office. He must see that the penalty for breaking the law is dealt with. So he must punish the murderer. He must punish the manslayer. He must see that the law, the breaches of the law, is penalized. Well, my friends, if that's true of a human judge, how much more the judge of all the earth? How much more God? His law, he is the one who's going to judge you in that day, and he will judge you according to his law. And for breaches of the law, the penalty will be paid. Exactly, precisely. And all breaches of the law, from the least to the greatest, well, the wages of sin is death, my friend. Everlasting eternal death. Hell, my friend. Oh, he's a God of love. And in his love, he did send his only begotten Son into the world, that men through him might be saved. That in believing, God has given us an escape route. God has caused the penalty of his law to be paid by another, by his Son Jesus Christ. He bore the curse, he bore the wrath, he bore the penalty in full for the breaches, the world's breaches of God's law. And that's the out. That's the way of escape. That's the only way of escape. But if you reject it, if you will not take it, if you will not believe, then you will not be saved. If you do not believe, you will not be forgiven. You will not be pardoned by the judge, but you will face the judge in terror and dread, and you will pay the price in full for your sin. Pay every last farthing, says Jesus. In other words, you cannot pay, you will not pay, and so you will be eternally damned, sent to that place called hell. Perfectly just, my friend, because God is holy. His justice is holy. His love is holy. Everything about God is holy. So, my friends, not everybody will be saved. God will not save everybody. He saves only those who believe, those who repent of their sin, those who turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, and put their trust in him. Then he saves, and on them alone does he save. So this common delusion, and I see it often, I see it on the internet, I hear it, you know, through all your modern forms of media. You know, I hear some celebrity, you know, that's passed out of this world, and everybody's talking about them being in heaven, and yet they live the most godless, depraved lives imaginable. You imagine depravity. You imagine utter godlessness and depravity in heaven. And that's a delusion. That's a great delusion. But it's a common delusion. Everybody gets saved in the end. That's not the truth. That's not according to the truth of God's word. If you will not believe, you will not be saved. If you will not trust God's word, you will not be saved. His love is a holy love. You know, we hear about young people. You know, a young person's taken out of this world, maybe in their teens or their 20s, and everybody's lamenting. Everybody's sad, you know? And they're saying, oh, what a shame that young person's been taken out of this world. That young person, you know, never got to live their lives fully, never got to enjoy, you know, all that they had planned for their future. But nobody laments that young front of the judge. Nobody laments that that young person lived a godless, sinful, wicked, evil, depraved life and now is standing before the judge. That's what you ought to lament over. And lament over yourself, your own souls, your own sins, because that will be your end. Everlastingly punished. Banished from the power of God, from the comfort of God's presence. Oh, my friends, yes, punishments there are to come. Not everybody gets saved. In fact, there's an exact number, the Bible says, that will be saved. Those whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. Those whom God has predestinated to be in His Son, Jesus Christ. By faith, that is. So you see, the choice is not yours in the end. The choice is God's. God's choosing. God's election. He has elected some to be saved. And the other He has reprobated. The others He has rejected. He forms out of the one lump of clay, out of the earth, one lump of clay, He forms two vessels. He forms some to everlasting salvation and the others to everlasting destruction. So take heed, which are you? Which will you be? Repent ye and believe the gospel, says the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Enter in at the straight gate. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that enter therein. Not the masses, not everybody. It's not universalism. It's not everybody gets saved. Few there be that enter therein. Few there be that get saved, says Jesus, because of only a few. Believe, repent and believe, and be saved. Then, of course, well, another great delusion that's abroad amongst many people in these days is that of restorationism. You'll be restored after you die. You'll get a second chance. God will give you another chance. He'll give you a chance to repent. He'll bring you before His judgment throne and He'll say to you, well, will you repent now that you're in my presence? Will you believe in my Son Jesus now? Will you take my salvation now? As if it was a matter of your choice. No, totally contrary to everything that the Bible speaks, my friend. There are no second chances, not at all. Here's your chance today. But even I have to say to you, my friend, or rather God has to say to you from His word, it's not of him that willeth, and it's not of him that runneth. It's not down to your choice, and it's not down to your works. You know, it's not down to your choice. You did not choose me, Jesus said to His disciples. I chose you. The choice is God. Will God save you by the preaching of the gospel today? That's a question. Will He have you? Not will you have Him, will He have you? And it's not of Him that works. Your works are stinking. Your works, your good works as you call them, they're like filthy rags in the sight of God, He said. No, that's popish doctrine, my friends. We're not papists. No, we are Protestants, my friends. We are Bible-believing Christians. And the Bible says, not by works. The Bible says, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any works. You have no works to offer God. No goodness, my friends, at all. There's none good, and there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous, not one, says God. So you see, my friends, even now in this world, it's according to God's grace, God's favor, whether He will have you or not. But when it comes to your dying, when it comes to you having breathed your last and standing before the judgment throne of God, that, my friends, will be an occasion of terror. That will be, my friends, that will be the event, that will be the happening of the worst nightmare that you ever had. But the only trouble is it won't be a nightmare, it will be reality. Before a holy and righteous judge, you are a depraved and wicked sinner, and my friends, there will be no second chances. There'll be no invitations, there's no offers today, and there'll be no offers then. There's no invitations today, and there'll be no invitations then. It will be, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So you see, my friend, the truth as it is in Jesus, to be believed thoroughly, honestly, and sincerely to be believed, the word of God in its entirety, all that God has spoken and given to us in his word, not a word of it, my friends, will ever fail, will ever fall to the ground. You must believe God's word, his testimony. You must believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's the only escape. How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? The Bible poses that question without answering it, because the logical answer is you will not be saved if you neglect God's so great salvation. So, my friends, no second chances. All deceptions, and there are many, many great delusions and deceptions today, I tell you. The truth of the Bible alone answers them and delivers you from them, because there is no truth apart from God's word. You don't have truth in politics, in your society. You don't have truth in medicine. You don't have truth in education. You don't have truth in any sphere of your society. You have nothing but damnable lies. Damnable liars in Parliament. Damnable liars in Whitehall. Damnable liars educating your children. Damnable liars in medicine. Damnable liars in every part of your society. All men are liars, says God. My friend, there is one antidote, I tell you, to the lie. You believe the lie, and you live out of the lie, and you will be damned along with the damnable liars. You see, my friends, to believe the lie is to live out of the lie. And my friends, there's only one answer to the lie, and that's the truth of God's word. Truth, my friends, is found only. God is truth. Thy word is truth. The answer to all the great deceptions, the delusions under which men and women live in your modern society today. Why we proclaim, why we preach to you from the Bible, why I hold it in my hands as I preach to you, that you would know exactly where it is that I am coming from. The word of God, the truth as it is in Jesus. Why I offer to you a copy of God's written word, so that you could examine, so that you could meditate upon it, so that you could study it, so that you could be relieved of the great deceptions that men and women, and perhaps yourself also, live under today. The common delusions of annihilationism, universalism, Restorationism. You can only be restored in this life, my friends, to God's favor through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no other way. There is no other path. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus. And then, of course, well, there's the time factor. There's those, my friends, you know, who say, well, people will be punished for a time, and then they'll escape. Then you've got the popish doctrine of purgatory. Nothing about that in the Bible, my friends. Purgatory, that word is not in the Bible at all. It's, my friends, a place of, from the evil imaginations of the popes of long ago, you know, who invented this imaginary place to fill their coffers with more money. You see, my friends, there are only two destinations, heaven and hell. When a person dies, when a person breathes their last and goes out of this world, it's either to heaven or to hell. There's no in-between place. There's no purgatory. And all the masses of masses that anybody could possibly perform for you will not get you out of hell. Only Jesus Christ can do that, but he must do it now before you breathe your last. Then, of course, there's this thinking abroad, you know, that, well, it will just be for a time. Maybe God will punish me in hell for maybe 10, 20 years, 50 years, and then he'll let me go, he'll let me out, once I've been reformed by the punishment. No, Jesus tells us, my friends, it is for all eternity. There is no escape. Once you've entered hell, you're there forever and ever and ever. When you've been there for a million years, you will still have eternity to go. You will burn forever, my friend, in the torments of hell. My friend, do I delight in telling you such? I do not. I do not, my friend. It's the very reason why we come. In the love of God, we come, my friend, to tell you these things in order that you might escape such an end. In order, my friends, that by the grace of God, you might be restored to the favor of God now, before you breathe your last, that you might enter his kingdom of grace and love, in order that you might be saved from such a catastrophic end as that. Eternity is a long, long time. So I bid you, my friends, take time out today to consider these things, your soul and your eternal destiny, before that is, it's too late. And then the separation. You're separated from God now. You have nothing of the comfort and consolation of God now. In your sin, my friend, alienated from God, separated from God because of your iniquities. But then that's why Jesus came, to heal that breach. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again from the dead, that you might be reconciled to God. But once you breathe your last, well, that reconciliation's an impossibility. You're separated from God forever, for all eternity, with no way back. You're separated, my friends, forever and ever from the comfort of God. No comfort at all. Nothing but absolute terror. Terror, my friend, and horror of conscience. The books will be open, says God. The books of your consciences, my friend. The worm that dieth not, says Jesus. A conscience awakened and fully operational, gnawing at your soul for all eternity, burning in your innermost being, suffering that for all eternity. My friends, there is but one answer to a bad, bad conscience, and that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of God who loved sinners and gave himself for them, that in the love of God that they might be reconciled to God now, that my friends, that their consciences might be pacified, and that they might be reconciled to God, that alienation, that breach from God healed. Because when you breathed your last and going out of this world, that separation becomes complete forever. The presence of God and his love. Oh, God will be present with you in hell, but not in love, not in love, not in hope. God will be present with you in hell, but in the fullness and in the fierceness of his wrath. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's in heaven. He's in hell. He's in the world. He's everywhere. There's nowhere that God is not. But he's also in hell, but in wrath, in full and fearsome wrath. I tell you, my friends, there's something to be saved from. That end, the punishments due to sinners in the world to come. And why I bid you to flee into the arms of Jesus, into the arms of love, into the arms of grace. Why I bid you to repent of your sin thoroughly, turn from it in sorrow with broken heart, contrition of spirit, and turn to Jesus who loved sinners and gave himself for them. My friends, oh my friends, the punishment for sin in the world to come. And the remembrance, I tell you, the remembrance of everything that you ever did, you ever thought, you ever spoken, you ever did. The remembrance of it all. And even this day, my friend, you will remember. Every time that you heard the gospel, you heard the overtures of God's grace and love, burning in the torments of hell and remembering, I heard the preaching of the gospel. I saw that man standing again and again, week after week in Birmingham, and telling me about God's salvation, and I mocked him, I sneered at him, and I even rebuked him, and I rejected it week after week after week. And here I am now in that place that he warned me about, but I would do nothing about it. I just carried on in my sinful, bitter, sinful, destructive ways. And I rejected the love of God in Jesus Christ. And now here I am, burning in hell for all eternity with no way of escape. You'll remember everything. You'll remember everything. And then, of course, well, the torments, my friends, will be in body and soul. You will have a body. The Bible says you'll have a body perfectly fitted for destruction. Your present body would not cope with that, my friends. The fires of hell, your present body would just be vaporized. God will give you a body fit for destruction that will be able, my friends, to continue on in existence. But my friends, tormented, punished in body, the pain, the suffering will be bodily, and in your soul, in your innermost being too. I tell you, it's awful, it's dreadful. Do I want to preach such? How? How? Eve, for me to lie and tell you that God loves everybody and everything will be fine. God has a plan for your life. No, no, my friends, I dare not. My conscience would not allow me. The truth, my friends, the truth, whatever you think of it, whatever I think of it, is of no consequence at all. It's God's truth. And this will be your end, he says, the punishment for your sins in the world to come. So, my friends, be assured that God is love. Oh, there's no question about that. And it's because that he is love that you have a way of escape. It is because he is love, immensely love, utterly loving, that you have, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that through him that you might be saved from such an end. So don't just dismiss this, you know, with the common phrases, you know, oh, a God of love that sends people to hell. My friend, you're being punished for your sin now in body and soul. Deservedly, quite justly. And when God punishes you for your sins in eternity, my friends, that will be utterly just as well. Because God's justice is perfect, as is the rest of his being, his love as well. But then, my friend, just that God is love, that's not the only attribute of God. He's also holy. Oh, some people, they will tell you God is too loving to punish people in such a way for their sins. He's a holy God, and there are things that God hates. He hates workers of iniquity. He hates those who shed innocent blood. Abortionists, those involved in abortion, those who kill innocent children, rip them from their mother's womb in the name of abortion. God hates them. God hates them. He hates workers of iniquity. So you see, my friends, another great delusion that God is love and nothing but love. But of course, what people mean by that is they mean emotions like themselves, feelings like themselves. You live in a world, you live in a culture today that's driven by emotion. Yeah? It's the truth. It's the truth that you need. Not your feelings, not your emotions. God's love is not an emotion. Yeah? Love. Love, my friends. Love of the truth. Love of purity, love of holiness, love of that which is good, love of that which is contrary to God, to his nature, his character, his law. He's just and righteous. Oh, my friends. Some people will tell you, well, surely Jesus, the loving Jesus, the gentle shepherd, surely this talk about hell, surely this is contrary to Jesus Christ. I think, my friends, the Jesus of the Western world today is a Jesus of the imagination of people. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. No, my friends, you need the real one. You need the one that you can only find on the pages of Scripture. These are they that testify of me. Search them, says Jesus. Here you'll find me in the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. And he's the one in all the Bible who speaks more about hell, and so very graphically, than anybody else. That task was given to him by his father. And I think to myself, that's because he's the only one that His father trusted to do the job honestly and truthfully. So Jesus, you read Jesus. You read the words of Jesus, and he will warn you in just the same terms and in just the same way that I'm warning you today. Flee the wrath to come, the punishment for sin in the world to come. But then, of course, when it comes to your modern day Christianity in Birmingham, in the United Kingdom today, in the Western world, it's a salad bar theology, pick and mix, you know? You pick up a Bible and you pick out the bits that you like and you leave behind the bits that you don't like. Salad bar theology does not bring salvation. Belief in the Word of God in its entirety. If you disagree with God's Word, if you disagree with this account of creation, 6 days he spoke the universe into being. If you disagree with how God made men and women, 2 genders only, male and female, made he them. If you disagree with God's word concerning holy matrimony between one man and one woman, then you're not saved. You've never been born again. You're not a Christian. Whatever you may confess, whatever you may say that you believe, whatever parts of the Bible you choose to accept and others reject, that's not the Christian faith. That's not faith that leads to salvation. The faith that leads to salvation is an acceptance of, wholehearted acceptance of all of God's truth revealed in his word in the Bible. And then examine, if you will, please, the world religions today. Islam, Roman Catholicism, Watchtower Society, Buddhism. My friend, there's no hell there. No hell there. Just do what they tell you to do. Try to be good. But it doesn't matter too much if you don't make it. No hell. No hell. Nothing to concern yourself about. When you die, when you breathe your last, when you go out of this world. But then all of your world religions are apostate. Apostate. Your churches, the majority of them are apostate. The Church of England, of Scotland, of Ireland, apostasy. Apostate, my friend. No truth, my friend. No truth. Nothing. No adherence. Faithful adherence to the Word of God. You live in an apostate world, and the only way back to God is through the truth. The truth shall make you free, says Jesus. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's to him that you must go and submit, yield yourself to. So you see, my friend, please understand, will you, that I'm not here today to frighten you. Oh, says somebody under their breath, perhaps, he's here to terrorize us. He's here to frighten us. No, no. A person is not saved by fear. We're only saved by faith. By faith alone in Christ alone. I'm not here to frighten you, my friend. That's way, way beyond my pay grade. I haven't got that kind of power. here to tell you the truth, as it is in Jesus, concerning the punishment for sin in the world to come. That hearing, my friend, if you are troubled, distressed, alarmed by this truth, then make it your business. Make it your business, my friends, to examine God's Word yourself. Peruse it. Meditate upon it. Study it. See, my friend, what Jesus said, that unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you repent, he says, ye shall perish. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Oh, that such would drive you towards Christ, even into the arms of Christ, that you might be saved from such a catastrophic end. Oh, that you might be saved. Oh, that you might be turned out of your sin. Oh, that you might be convicted of the truth. Oh, my friends, that you might be converted. Except ye be converted and become as children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. But he excluded. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You need to know, my friend. You're excluded now. And one day, you will be excluded for all eternity. Unless God gives you faith. Unless God gives you a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Unless God gives you to feel your sin. Unless God gives you a sorrow for your sin. Unless God gives you a glimpse of Jesus to see him as the one that you need more than you need to breathe. My friend, that God would pour saving faith into your hearts, into your souls, even as many did. To by faith, lay hold upon Jesus. Trust in him. And then, the rest of your day, walk with him on the narrow pathway. The one that leads to life, the only one that leads to life. Straight is the gate, narrow is the pathway that leadeth unto life. Few there be that go in thereat. Broad is the way, wide is the gate that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be, many, many there be that go in thereat. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Turn to Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Birmingham. That's your only escape route. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Like to have a copy of God's written word. Read for yourself. Examine for yourself, meditate upon yourself, study yourself, see that these things are so. Like a copy of God's Word, offered to you freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the asking. Like a copy of God's Word, the Bible, come and ask for one. May God bless you, Birmingham. Bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious, never dying soul.